from Deuteronomy 28:1-14. You don't have to turn to it. It's a very long excerpt, but it's an excerpt of blessing. You're blessed when you come in and when you go out. You're blessed in your homes, you're blessed in the field, you're blessed in all the high places. It's a blessing that God offered to those who are right in his sight. As Sister Brenda said, this life is not always a bed of roses. Pastor Mendoza and his wife preached half of my sermon today. They explained that even when you think you're doing your best is not enough. In God's sight, even your best is but dirty rags. Yet still, Mrs. Mendoza said, all we have to do is keep our eyes on the prize. Look up. One song said, today, you are all I want. You are all I ever needed. Once we have Jesus, we can ride out that storm. Once we have Jesus, Pastor Mendoza said, there are circumstances in this world that buffet us, that cause us sometime to fail. Yes, we fail. That's why we're all sitting here, because somewhere, somehow, we have failed. I used to go to a church, Sister Nell's church, and there was a little deacon there. I don't remember his name. Pastor Ken used to call him Tattoo. He used to say, I am not a sinner. I don't sin. I don't have to confess no sin to no one. But oh, how wrong he has been. Because the scripture tells us that we're all sinners saved by grace. All sinners. And if you believe that you do not sin, then that's your first sin. That you're lying not only to yourself, but you're making God out a liar. Another song said, bless the Lord, all my soul. Worship his holy name. Because if we keep God elevated, high and lifted up like Elijah, we someday hold that confidence to share in his presence. Not for a little while, not like one of the songs says, 10,000 years, but forevermore. Everlasting and everlasting. A song said to us this morning, how great is this God that we trust and believe in? Because he lives, we are assured. We are assured. One of the verses of that song said, just imagine a child. The child can face tomorrow with confidence. Even with the buffeting that will come. For high and lifted up in the palm of his hands, Jesus holds each and every one of our children. Me and you as adults, the ones that are supposed to teach and bring up these children in the way they should go. One song said, because of who you are. Because we got to know you. We today can give you all the glory. Despite all the buffeting. Despite all the circumstances. Sister Mendoza said, just keep looking up. Because one day as you look up, those clouds will burst. And he says, I will come to receive you. And behold, I come quickly. So don't waste your time. For when I come, I bring my rewards with me, according to all your deeds, I will repay you. Hold on and hang on. Fathers, the ones that did all that was right, and the ones, as Pastor Pascasio said in his opening prayer, the ones who might have not lived that bed of roses. We rejoice with the ones who did according to the will of God, and we together join in prayer for the ones who fell short. For there's still hope. With Jesus, there's always hope. The trappings today. I took it upon myself to put on this little gown. For I recall one time when Pastor Pascasio was installed. And he was presented with a robe of splendor and glory. But you know, Bobby Schuller from the House of Power once spoke about these gowns. Today is storytelling, so please bear with me, and I'll try to be as brief as I can. God was specific, he said, about presenting Aaron as his first high priest, Exodus 28 and 2. Make sacred garments for your brother Aaron to give his office dignity and honor. There's a certain decorum that goes with the robe or the headdress of a high priest. If you remember the American Indians, they used to wear a feather in their hair. It determined who was a little hunter and who was the big chief by the amount of feathers that you found in their headdress. Like a king crown, or like his scepter in his hands, or like the magician's black cape, or his enchantment wand. It is not about the person. It's nothing about me. Don't even believe, oh, Brother Edgar is speaking today, so I don't have to listen, because him and waste of time is the same thing. No. It's not about the person. It is ultimately about the office that I represent. Such is the office and the privilege of being a father. This word father confers a certain enigma over and upon whosoever is so clothed with that name. With that high title, there is no mediocrity. It demands all or nothing. If you're going to be a father, then you have to be it for what the father entails. God above is our father. He is your best example about being the best father there is. Don't be enticed by momentary seductions, foreplays, and crowns that this world will give. They are but temporary. This honor of being called a father just by siring a child by way of procreation is only the beginning of a divinely sanctified gift that God bestows upon you. Being a father means that we must mimic the Almighty in all his ways. I have a story. The story is about a barren woman of the Danite tribe. Her name was Elkanah. Her husband's name was Elkanah, I'm sorry. And her name was Hannah. She prayed to God for a child. And she prayed earnestly for a child. She even made promises about what that child would be or would do if God would grant her her gift. First Samuel 1 and 2 tells us that each year she and her husband would go up to the temple to offer sacrifice and pray. Eli, the high priest, would bless both of them, Elkanah and his wife, and say, "May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one that she gave. For when she had her child, she offered it back to God." She made sure that this child lived a life that was dedicated to the glory of God. I have another story about another barren woman, a woman in the book of Judges. Her husband's name was Manoah, an Israelite from the land of Zorah. And her wife was unable to conceive. They were already up in age. Then an angel appeared to her and promised her that by this time next year, you will have a child. She became pregnant and she had a child. And then she remembered the words that the angel told her. "You will become pregnant and have a son whose head shall never be touched by a razor, because the boy will live a Nazarite unto God from the womb until the day of his death." The angel charged her, "Now he must not drink no wine, and he must be estranged from all unclean things." This child's name was Samson. We know the outcome of Samuel. We know the outcome of Samson. Samson mixed himself up with uncircumcised people, Philistines. Samuel served in the temple until the end of his days. Samson got duped by a woman named Delilah. Samson disobeyed not only his parents, but he disobeyed God. And for that, he paid a price. Parents. There were two parents, godly parents at that, that produced two child that were totally extremes from each other. Samson had an opportunity knocked right at his door, that he could have been one of the greatest judges of his time. But Samson believed more in the flesh and in the will of men. Maybe I should correct that, the will of woman. For that was his downfall. That was his weakness. And the devil took possession of his weakness and ran with it. A psalmist said, "You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we will lift our hands in worship, and as we praise your holy name, for you are God. You do miracles among us. There is no one else like you. You are truly matchless in heaven and on the earth below. Today, Father, we come to you at the foot of your throne of grace, and we ask that you bestow unto these people here gathered receptive hearts, open minds. O Spirit of the living God, I do this moment pray, fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on your people, specifically on fathers today. Events are not the result of sheer chance or coincidence. You, Spirit, you guide and direct us as we strive to understand one another and to have others understand us, to show caring for each other as we allow ourselves to be cared for. Let this be the prayer in each and every one of your hearts as we listen to God's holy word. Typical Father Day messages are truly geared to extend or to invoke tribute and honor to dads and granddads all over, throughout the generations. Them that went before us, those that are still among us, and to those that are yet to come. Many messages normally on Father's Day highlight the fourth Mosaic commandment handed down upon Mount Sinai with a promise. Thou shalt honor your father and your mother. And Deuteronomy even extends what Exodus 20 and 12 says by saying, so that your days may be long in the land that your God has given you. Other messages emphasize the love, the virtues of ideal fathership, as opposed to the prodigalness of our children sometimes. They celebrate selfless love, and they applaud flawless parenting. Fathers who did everything just right, they get a pat on the back. Yet, in the real world, Pastor Mendoza reminded us what that real world is, being a father especially. In the real world, so many of us result unintentionally excluded from these celebrations because we did not meet the mark. We did not hit the bullseye. There's a motivation in these messages. These types of messages, they are drafted to celebrate fathers and to give them, to stimulate or to provoke a sense of duty in their children, a sense of gratefulness in their beneficiaries, not only their children, but their wives, their workplaces, their bosses, anybody that their lives have touched, to recognize and to show appreciation for these super dads and super husbands. The church teaches that children may provide material or moral support to their aging parents in their sickness, in their loneliness, or in their distress. This teaching is simply based on gratitude. Gratitude for life, for giving them life, for showing them love when they were young, and the effort that was given to bring them up to be what they turned out to be. It is a desire or a token of payback. Some of us even paying forward. The scripture says in Proverbs 6 and 20, 22, "My son, keep your father's commandment and do not forsake your mother's teaching. When you walk, they will lead and guide you. When you lie down, they will comfort and watch over you." Yet I'm sad to say, beloved, that some of us are only biological fathers by name. Yes, a number of us who are considered sometimes wicked or ungodly, some of us fall in the ranks that might be given the label adulterers, swindlers, abusers, traffickers, molesters, stalkers, thieves, idolaters, even criminals. Take heart today, beloved. Take heart that we have a God who knows us. Some of God's best picks in days of old, the ones he called to be his servants, like Abraham, Noah, Jacob, David, they all had their flaws. Abraham was an idolater. He adored false gods. Noah was a drunk. Jacob was a cripple. Lot committed incest with his two daughters. Moses was a murderer. David was an adulterer. Solomon, well, he was just a bigamist. He just loved lots of women. A flagrant womanizer. Peter was impetuous and hot-headed. He would jump to conclusions and do actions that later on he realized, I just put my foot in my mouth. Yet still, God used them. God used them to do what was right in his sight. St. Paul, the one who wrote about a third of the New Testament, he was devoted and convicted, yet still he was fighting for a long time on the wrong side. He was doing all that he could do for the wrong reason. God arrests them. Like God will arrest all fathers even today and cause you to re-examine your walk with him. For God's hand, like Sister Mendoza said, is always upon us. He controls what we say or do. And Joseph said it best. Even when men meant it for wrong, God will use it for good. God called some of these unrighteous men. He called them friends. He said that some were after his own heart. He even said that they were righteous. Because we're all righteous in the blood of Christ Jesus. That's the cloak that we can wear as believers today. Wear it confidently, wear it boldly, and wear it knowing that one day we shall be rewarded for whatever we suffer in Christ's name. The word mother and father should at all times call forth a warm, fervent, intuitive perception out of all of us. It's an image of purity. It's an image of dignity. It's an image of security. Mothers and fathers are guiding stars to children, as Brother Pascasio said, who are obedient, who follow in the teachings that have been given unto them. Some of us here are mothers, some of us here are fathers, but we still hear our own will before them. And that sometimes is what caused us to be in hot water. My challenge today is for the fathers who have fallen short. We have applauded the ones who did it right, the ones who have shown and demonstrated that they are following in the righteous path. Let's not focus on whether or not you can rightly appropriate the accolades of this day. Job well done. Congratulations for the season. Instead, let us take this opportunity, like Pastor Pascasio said in his opening prayer, and join together in unity for the well-being and the future of what these fathers who have not measured up can do in the future to measure up. The legacy that we as fathers are leaving is what my question to you is going to be. What legacy are you leaving for your children? This is your chance to make an about turn if you need to. The scripture says, if you hear that still small voice, harden not your heart. Amen. Fathers, are you blessing your children? The third epistle of the Apostle John was written to uplift and encourage his friend Gaius. Verse 2 says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be of good health, even as your soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that was in thee. Even as thou walkest in truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth of the Lord. 3 John 1:2-4. Are you reflecting a God-fearing lifestyle to your wife and to your children? Is there spiritual training and development being projected from you? Are you shaping and sharpening how we infiltrate the minds and the hearts of our children? Deuteronomy 6:6. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your heart always. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Speak of them consistently and at all times model true leadership to your own, in your own life example. Build in them a right relationship with God. Lead your children to live vibrant, spirit-filled lives through you, through what they perceive in you. The tent maker of Tarsus said, follow me as I follow Christ Jesus. Be sincere, fathers. Don't be phonies. Don't be fake. Don't be hypocritical. Don't be carnal. Don't be worldly. Prepare your children to live dynamic, biblically aware lives. Proverbs 4:3-4 reminds us of Solomon's advice. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me And he said to me, take hold of my words, my son, with all your heart. Keep my commandments, and indeed you shall live. Do you discipline your children? Do you reprove them? Do you chasten them, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights? Proverbs 13 and 24. Whosoever spares the rod hates the child. But the one who loves the child will be careful to discipline him always. No one understands that the fallen nature of man is also in your offsprings. Be not absent fathers, disengaged or uninvolved, the ones that hang loose. Present your present, but just as a spectator. You have a strategic role to present as father. Bring up your children with responsibility, with a sense of commitment and hopefulness, with a sense of accountability, and it will favorably mature them. Give them the equipment to succeed. Discipline is an effective and acceptable age-appropriate manner. Discipline in an effective and acceptable age-appropriate manner. Nothing lost is nothing gained. It must cost you in order to profit you. It requires time and tenacity to raise a well-balanced child. Remember what happened to Samson. You have to give of yourself. You have to be there. You have to be there to supervise, to encourage, to guide, to guard, to protect, to discipline. You must be firm and unwavering in all your principles. Not sometimes, but all times. Someone else will do it if you don't. Someone else will allow your child to spend the time for the crime if you do not put in the elbow grease that it requires. Talk is cheap, beloved. Action is the proof that fathers need. Parents must be praying always. Praying for their kids like Job prayed and gave burnt offerings for his children. For he said, if perchance they might have done something and sinned against God, I am interceding for them. Children are here today and they're gone tomorrow. It won't last forever what you have to do to bring them up righteously. It's only but for a short time. So we must, as fathers, intercede relentlessly for them. What we do in their lives must not cause them to feel resentment or regret. Cause you to feel resentment or regret. It will only be for a little while, and then you will relish the effort for an entire lifetime. I heard Pastor Mendoza said about his grandchildren, how he enjoys his children and even his grandchildren. You know, what he put into one child will go into generations, and that's where your joy will come. We want to be forever in the hall of fame for super dads and super parents. Whether or not you did a right job or a wrong job, you will be in that hall of fame. You might be in the hall of fame for the right things that you did, or you might be in the hall of disgrace for the wrong things that you might have failed to do. Fathers must not be arrogant with their children. Be patient with them. I saw Brother Blancano this morning with his baby girl. While the worship was going on, the little child was just enjoying her dad. She was playing with his bald head. She was pulling on his gold chain. She was just enjoying her. He pushed her his head, and he would put his head back in her way, and she'd push it again, and they were having fun while we were worshiping. Tunumunu is what Creole people call it. She was taking him for a ride, and the dad just allowed himself to go with the flow. Those are the things that will stay in the minds and the heart of our children. That little time that you gave. Fathers are supposed to rightly define between right and wrong. Psalms 66, 18 and 19 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayer. But certainly God has heard. He has given heed to the cries of my supplication." We cannot live with unconfessed sins in our hearts. Are you fathers, enjoying your children? Are you spending quality, giggling time with the gift that God gave you? I recall the times when I used to romp and roll, tickling and being tickled, playing pranks uncomfortably together with children. I remember driving my transition van on Halloween night, and I would drive. It was raining, but I still wanted these children that I had told we were going trick-or-treating, I still wanted them to enjoy the Halloween. So I put them in my van with raincoats and umbrellas, and I drive from one side of the street to the other side of the street to the other side of the street, all down the block, so that they can go from house to house and just run to the doors, ring the bell, get their candy, and run back to the van. These children, even grown now, having their own children, they remind me, Brother Edgar, do you remember when we was driving from side to side on the road and the police came and gave you a ticket? It didn't stop us having our Halloween fun. These children remember that. I recall going with grown boys, Jolene's brothers were small then, and I would go visit sometimes with Pastor Gordon, and the children would get bored. And while every adult was doing stuff, I would sneak out with the kids, and we would go ding-dong doorbell to the neighborhoods, run up and down and ring the bell and run. These kids have grown up now, and they said, "Brother Edgar, do you remember when we used to do ding-dong doorbell? And we'd run and leave you, and the neighbors would come out and see you." I fell down one time and peeled the whole side of my foot, and I couldn't run anymore. And a little old man came over and said, "I see you, I know it was you, I know it was you." The next day, I took the kids and we went back to the same doors that we disturbed, and we made apologies for the little prank that we were doing. God was merciful, they forgave us. Innocent. Unadulterated indoctrination of young children. That is what fathers need to do with their children. A few days later, one of the neighbors came up to me and said, "Are you that mischief maker that my neighbor talks about?" And I said, "Mischief maker?" He says, "You know what I'm talking about. But you know, next time when you guys ring the doorbell, come and ring mine. I want my wife to get up out the couch sometimes." Are you hugging and kissing your kids, your wife? Are you telling them how much you love them? You see, these hugs relay a sense of safety for your children and for your wife. A sense of security. The kissing promotes affirmation, acceptance, and it's a seal of blessing upon them. Do not fear to pass it on. Are you being compassionate and forgiving? The four Gospels are replete with statements where Jesus showed compassion before he even did something to help or to please someone else. His mercy was everlasting in his ministry, even to the point of weeping. Yes, or Jesus wept many times. The Old Testament tells us of an account when God's rebellious, idolatrous people turned away from him and they sought a way to be forgiven, to find reconciliation. And God provided them with new sets of covenants. They did evil in God's sight. They forsook his command. They followed their own selfish lusts and their pleasures and reaped the very suffering that those things give. Yet God's love hastened to uphold them. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven. I will forgive all their sins, and I will heal their land." I ask you, beloved, if God forgives us for horrendous travesties, like the one that I used to do when I was younger with children, or the ones that the saints of old did, what kind of compassion, tender heart are you showing your children? Are you following in God's footsteps when it comes to forgiveness? We remember Aaron and Miriam. They spoke against their own brother's leadership. And God was upset by it. But Moses loved them. And Moses prayed for forgiveness for them. Even they did not ask for forgiveness. Their brother asked for it for them. But because of the relationship that Moses had with God, the love that God has for all his creation, God was compassionate. God accepted their reconciliation. Joseph was unjustly sequestered into a dark cave, a dark pit. He was sold into slavery. He was imprisoned and subjected to hard labor, seemingly forgotten by his family, by his friends, and even seemingly by God. But God knew Joseph's heart. And one day, God rose him to power, second only to the most powerful ruler of the land in that time. In an exercise of genuine mercy and agape love, he forgave his brothers. God says, "I will return beauty for your ashes. All that the enemy has burnt up, I will give back to you hundredfold." Nothing that we do is forgotten by God. Wasn't it Jesus that pronounced that when we forgive, we're supposed to forgive 7 times 70? Yet even Jesus outdid his own pronouncement. For he forgave the whole world for all the sins that we have, are, and will ever commit. He paid the price to wipe away all the sins, a perfect ransom. As far as the east is from the west, the scripture says, he has removed all our transgressions, never to be remembered again. The prophet Hosea 14:3 says, in our God alone does the fatherless find compassion. Beloved, as fathers, are we being phenomenal? Phenomenal in the eyes of our loved ones and phenomenal in the eyes of God himself. The leper in Matthew 8 cried out, Lord, I know that you can heal me. I know you can do it if you are willing. He shouted thanks and praise when he was healed and ran around worshiping Jesus. The blind beggar claimed, whether or not the healer violated the Sabbath, I do not know. The one thing that I do know, I was blind, and today I see. Acts 3:8-10. He jumped for joy, and he came praising God. When the people saw him that knew, that recognized him, he used to be the beggar at the gate called Beautiful. And they all were filled with wonder and amazement. They were all cautioned, these two events. They were all cautions, go tell no one. When God has done something like that in your life, how can you contain yourself from not telling anyone? They were instructed, just go to the priest and do the sacrifices that are required for your healing. That didn't shake them none. I need to tell somebody, like I'm telling fathers today. There is this voice crying in the wilderness, make your way straight for the Lord. Our salvation is at hand, beloved. And there are certain things that we need to do in order to ensure that we appropriate them. But most of all, something that we all need to do to ensure that our offsprings are also called in that number. We must always be catalysts, doers and not passive spectators. We must always think biblically and in so doing act biblically. Without the daring of a shepherd boy named David, we would never know of the falling of a giant named Goliath. Without the self-sacrifice of a prophet named Moses, the lawgiver, we would never know. We would never understand the opening of the Red Sea or the raining down of manna in the desert. Phenomenal, that's what our God is. Phenomenal is what fathers are called to be. Boys, there's a time, is there not a time when you had wagered as a boy how great your dad was, how big he was, how strong he was, how smart he was, all the things that my dad can do that your dad cannot do? We have always wagered as young men about our fathers that way, because we see in them the biggest and greatest father that there is. Girls will always be their father's little princess. Did you not at some time cherish your father? Your daddy is the one that one day in your mind will escort you down the aisle to present you, his princess, to become the queen of another man. Those are the memories that will stay in our children's mind. We must be phenomenal, I said. We don't want to be fathers who'd respond, who run off at the first sound of trouble. For some of us, fathers have been those. Mothers our grandmothers, grandparents have had to take up the reins where we as fathers have failed. We must be the fathers who teach our children, especially our little girl, the hope that when they enter into the holy estate of marriage, that they must exercise godly wisdom and follow the teachings of the Bible, that a man or a woman must leave his mother and his father and cleave to his spouse, for they both shall now become one. Genesis 2 and 24. Two shall be one, emotionally, relationally, financially, and if need be, geographically. Sometimes when you're just married, you need to get away from your family. It is these forsakings that cause the bad reputation for in-laws. When we look towards each of the individuals instead of the sanctity of the sacrament of marriage that cause people to say negative things about in-laws. Do not put yourself in positions where Satan can have his way with you, especially in your season of pain. Stay the course. Sister Mendoza said that. Live out your commitment with endurance and with a convincing, well-lived life. George Beverly Shea, his mother, when he was 19 years old, wrote a song for him. He is a beautiful singer, but he is not a composer. His own mom wrote a song for him. The lyrics say, "I'd rather have Jesus." That song has resounded in many churches all over the land, especially the way he sings it. Canadian missionary Jean de La Fontaine, he served all his life in the back roads of Calcutta, India. But he gave a little young Indian boy named Rabbi Zachariah an opportunity when he was just 19 years old to preach on his pulpit. I don't know if you know who Rabbi Zachariah is, but he is a world-renowned speaker of You Will Be Great ministry. God gave him a small word to give that evening. And De La Fontaine came to him after the message and says, "All you have to do, my friend, is keep your eyes on God. Do what is right. God has his hand on you. He will do great things in your life." 30 years later, television ministries, radio broadcasts, they all speak about Rabbi Zachariah. 78 books he has written about the love of God in his people. Fantastic and phenomenal is what we must be. And if we be that, then God will return the favor, even super fantastic and super phenomenal. It was at the end of one of Rabbi Zachariah's conferences that he spoke that a small, belabored old man walked up to him, put his hands around his shoulder, and said only these words, "Did I not tell you what God would do with you?" That's the owner and leader of Let My People Think ministry. Fathers, we all have different gifts according to the grace that has been entrusted in each and every one of us. The gift of prophecy for some, the gift of encouragement or teaching, or the gift of giving generously, the gift of leading diligently, or the gift of mercy that we show cheerfully. True love is that which abhors evil and clings unto what is good. True love does, Romans 12 and 9, 10 says, true love pursues unity instead of division, devotes to one another, prefers others unto oneself, honors others above oneself. Real love submits wholeheartedly, but like it was in the time of the book of Judges, love does not do it my way. Love instead does it their way, God's way. God knows that there's no other way. And because he knew, he sent us the way. For Jesus said, I am the way. Like faith, beloved, be steadfast and endure in spite of all the buffeting. Philippians 2, 3 and 4 says, this bedrock ensures that God will do all that he absolutely say he can do in you. You can count on it. Creole people will say, God can't lie, and he no stammer. So what he say will definitely happen. James 2, 15 and 6 says, love practice generosity. Be generous in your life. Be not afraid. Joseph of Arimathea, the Bible speaks of him as the undertaker for Jesus. He made arrangements with Pilate to get Jesus off the cross before the beginning of the Sabbath. He gave his own tomb so that he can be laid and given a Christian burial. Yet still, Joseph of Arimathea was known as a secret follower. Do we want to live lives as secret followers of Jesus Christ? He said, if you are ashamed of me in this life, I will definitely be ashamed of you in front of my Father. Posterity labeled him with the right label, but we know the God that we serve. For our God has caused his name to be written in the annals of time, and we know that God rewards for all that we do. Be prominent in your children's life. Greater is he, somebody said earlier today, that is in us than all the turmoils that are about or against us. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in closing, to view God's mercy, in view of God's mercy, to offer up your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform yourself to the patterns of this world, but transform and renew your minds. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is for you, his good and pleasing, perfect will. Romans 12, 1 and 2. There was a Greek philosopher named Aristeas. He reported to King Hadrian at the time. He was commissioned to go and investigate what these Christians are all about. In his report, he only said, oh, how they loved each other. The song written immortal in the hymns resung those very words. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Yes, by our love they will know that we serve the one and true living God. I ask you, fathers, when all is said and done in this world, what will be said about you? Will you be remembered fondly? Will your children tell their children of the love that you displayed to them? The love that you injected into their lives? Or will they call to mind your lack of charity? The attitude that so tragically you neglected to radiate. Oh, let the church say amen. Our God today have spoken. Let his people say amen. I thank you.